Rich Eisen here. Right now at U.S. Cellular, everyone can get the Samsung Galaxy S23 for free. So everyone can take perfect selfies in low light with the nightography mode. Everyone can game all day and night with a longer-lasting battery. And everyone can do it all smoother than ever with Samsung's most powerful processor yet. All on U.S. Cellular's 5G network. Limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply.
This introducing is the Rich Eisen Show.
I try to give you facts. There is more tea spilled at the Combine, and people are so eager to do it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Packers sure hope Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to come back. Tom Brady may not be done after all.
What?
It's a couple people are like, just hang on, just you wait.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, former NFL executive Joe Banner, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Can confirm, it's the Rich Eisen Show, and there I am, sitting here at the set here in Los Angeles, California, on a busy Tuesday, March the 7th, here in the year of our Lord, 2023. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs, free on Amazon Fire TV, free on the app, because the Roku channel's in the app. And the Roku channel's free, meaning you go to the RokuChannel.com on the internet tubes, and you can watch us for free every day. We say hello to our Sirius XM Odyssey audience, the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, cobbled together thanks to very smart program directors who choose this program. We say hello to you, to our podcast listeners on the Cumulus Podcast Network. We say hello to everybody under the sun, coast to coast and around the globe. Good to see you over there, Christopher.
Rich, not a rumor. I am here.
Good to see you, DJ Mikey D.
Good morning, Rich Eisen.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson.
I'm always here, so.
I'd say the candle's lit, but we kind of lit the candle yesterday, didn't we?
Well, you did.
You lit the candle.
You reported on a lot of things yesterday.
Yes.
A lot of...
just things you overheard.
A lot of chatter.
Just stuff that you heard.
A lot of chatter.
A lot of talking. A lot of birds.
Breaking news.
Yeah, well, you know what?
This Justin.
And I just, you know, I decided yesterday, or over the weekend, quite frankly,
to not pay for movies.
I even gave you a heads
up. It was like Friday. I gave you a heads up.
I'm already hearing some crazy stuff.
And I was like, well, just give me one. And you're like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, whoa.
And I'm like, okay. I'm going to put together a top five list of the rumors that I heard at the Combine.
That was
so loudly and from more than one person in the NFL world. I'll just give you an idea of what it's like strolling around the Combine. And then folks hear it, and I'm thrilled that we have that platform here on the Roku channel and everything else I just mentioned. Radio and our YouTube and our social media. I'm proud of what we've built around here.
As you should be.
And it's obvious that if I just feed it with rumor and innuendo, we're going to be on fire. I'm just not comfortable with
it. You're finally doing the show I've wanted you to do.
I'm not comfortable with it because when people report it as I'm reporting it, that's not what I'm saying. The perfect example is the number one rumor that I threw out there, which is when I was at the Combine, I heard from multiple people, keep an eye out for Tom Brady on retiring at some point. And now it's like Rich Eisen says Tom Brady's on retiring. And that's not the case either. The way it was described to me, and the way that you could just read the tea leaves that might actually be out there, it's not like Brady's walking around saying, I'm on retiring, or I'm thinking about it. I don't think he's thinking about it. I think all you got to do is look at his Instagram feed. He's talking about this Brady project, that Brady project, this Brady cat, that Brady ski trip. You know, I follow him. Doesn't look like he's thinking of coming back. I'm just saying, keep an eye out. If circumstances arise that allows him to continue playing and also be the dad and family man that he wants to be, his options can be kept open for it. And one of the things I was told, too, and that I'm hearing from folks chopping this rumor up, it is a rumor that I decided to report into this microphone that I heard at the combine, that he's put in his retirement papers. Folks, this means nothing. He can rescind them. He can rip it up. I'm retiring. You know those papers they sent you? I'd like them back. It's not like he's, to use the analogy, taking his finger off the chess piece and it's now official. Sorry, you can't take that move back. Doesn't work that way. Tom Brady's going to be a free agent in 8 days. The Bucs have a $35 million cap charge for him coming up this year. It's possible the Bucs could say, hey, Tom, you sign another contract. We can extend this. We don't pay everything right now. They might be happy. We owe it. Let's not credit card this thing. Let's just get it off our balance sheet, and they're happy to do it. But if it's possible that they need the help to extend it, then they would be able to sign a contract with him and extend it. Problem is, if he does that, he'd be under contract to the Bucs. He's not doing that. Didn't sign a contract with the Patriots either, did he?
Nope.
This is what's, it's, he's not thinking, this way it was described to me, of unretiring right now, or he's thinking that he's playing this year, or he's preparing to play this year. If circumstances arise where he wants to play, he feels like up for playing, he's not ready to unretire, and he's willing to get whatever slings and arrows that come his way from people who want to criticize him. I don't think he cares about that. Why would he?
Come at the goat.
And it works into his personal life in a manner that everyone's comfortable with, then his option is being kept open right now. This is what I was told. I hope I've cleared that up in a way. But it just, I'm seeing it right now. Report. Keep an eye on Brady coming out of retirement. I am a journalist. I've got a journalism degree.
What you say has weight.
Thank you, Chris.
You know what I mean?
I appreciate that. But I'm not reporting Brady's. I'm just saying this is what's talked about at the combine.
Everybody talk.
This was, and to hear his name mentioned like that, and I believe many people have been reporting this too. But thanks for watching the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel.
Spell their name right.
Bottom line, right.
Rich
there.
Eisen Productions producing.
Right, everywhere. First Take this morning.
Another rumor I heard at the combine.
Is this a new one?
Like, nope. Number two on the list.
Oh, yeah, number two.
Number two on the list. The Packers sure hope Aaron Rodgers, when he comes out of his thoughtful procedure about what to do, will say, I don't come back. Then you hear my buddy, Hal Wingo III, Trey Wingo.
Yeah.
He said that the Rodgers and the Jets had conversations today, this was last night, while nothing's imminent, Rodgers opened the idea of going to New York. Many reports following today, actual reports, that Rodgers and the Jets are talking. That there, it's happening today. Aha! As Ian retweeted, Rodgers has received permission to speak with the Jets, source confirms. Some due diligence. He got permission. The Packers said, go talk to him. Go talk to him. Why would they say that? He's not a free agent.
He's not.
Which leads me to believe he's about to become a New York Jet. The only thing that my mind that would hold this thing up, because if he's talking somewhere else and the Packers are like, go ahead and talk. then I believe that relationship is over. Can it be put back in the bottle? Of course. Crazy things have happened. I talked to the Jets. I'm not interested. I want to come back to you. Oh, okay. Welcome back. But in the back of everyone's mind will just be the fact that, yeah, I wanted to talk to somebody else and you let me. That might be actually appreciated by Rodgers. And again, what I heard at the combine is that's appreciated by the Packers. You go talk to somebody else. Go for it. Now, it leads me to believe he's going to be a Jet. And the only thing that would hold it up is that the Packers say, you know, we're only picking up 10 of his $60 million. We're only picking up 5 of his $60 million. I don't know what that number is going to be, that the Jets are comfortable paying it. And then whatever amount that the Packers pick up, the larger that amount gets, the higher the draft choice, one would think would be coming from the Jets. We're picking up a lot of his salary in order for you to get Aaron Rodgers at a rate less than, say, what Geno Smith is now going to be playing for in Seattle. That's going to cost you draft choice. It's now a horse trade, it seems, between the two general managers, I would think. I'm sure Rodgers in these conversations would be philosophical in nature, but the offensive coordinator that he had and has spoken so highly of that everyone thought when he was hired by Denver to be the head coach there, that was the clear indication that Rodgers would wind up in Denver. Nathaniel Hackett's now in New York. So what philosophical conversations need to be had? That's so deep that it would go the next day. I don't know. Rodgers is a deep thinker. Seems to me he's going to be a Jet. And that just blows my mind. That blows my mind on two fronts. One, that Rodgers is willing to go to New York. And I hope, obviously, he's a Jet. I hope this works out. I'm closing my eyes. I'm like, do I see Rodgers in the Canyon of Heroes as the second number 12 winning a Super Bowl? Thanks, everybody. Love you. I now don't have to buy a meal here the rest of my life. Thank you. I took the Jets to the promised land, all you Jet fans, in my remaining years of goatness. I actually went to New York and I did something that Favre did, which blows my mind, and did something that Favre couldn't do here. By the way, radio audience, I'm waving to all the folks going up the Canyon of Heroes. What's up? How you doing? You. Do I see that? It's tough to envision. You know why? Because I'm a pessimist. I'm a Jet fan. I wear the scars. Are we really going to get the Rodgers of the MVP years, last two? We're going to get that guy? Really? Garrett Wilson's going to work out with him. Suddenly Elijah Moore's going to work out. And
maybe.
Yeah, Breece Hall won't have his knee blown out this time. Like all the things, it's really going to work out. I'll tell you, though, is that if you're hoping that Zach Wilson's going to be the guy there still and you want to give him a shot to develop, he's such a young kid, you want to give him a shot to develop, Aaron Rodgers, bridge quarterback?
There you go.
Hadn't heard that concept ever. But sign me up if he can win. And if he wins, then all the questions about anything he says outside of the lanes of football will subside in the same way none of them were brought up to him inside that locker room in Green Bay. But it surprises me. He's like, yeah, sign me up. I'll leave Green Bay. I'll play for the New York Jets. Or he's willing to do that. And then, of course, the other side, I just have to, I spill this stuff out. It's just, I know Jet fans feel the same damn way. How the hell are we back here again? Look it up for me, Chris. I think I know the answer. How many playoff seasons have the Jets had since they tried Favre on for size? When Favre came there for Mangini, and if I'm not mistaken, did Mangini like get a tattoo or name his kid middle name Brett or Favre or something like that, since the Jets went all in?
So Favre was 2008.
Yep.
He had 1 year. Brett Favre went 9-7.
Correct. Then the next year, they made it.
Then the next year, Rex came in, and you made a back-to-back AFC championship games.
And then what happened after that?
After that...
we haven't made it since.
There's been no playoff berth.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you had Favre, and then you went and got a kid in the draft and actually had a pop. Now we went for the kid in the draft. Doesn't work. So now we're back in the position of trying on the Packers goat for size. How the hell did we get back here again? And I guess once we try the Packers goat on for size, then we'll go back to the kid we drafted. Is that the way it's going to work? And the draft choices that you cough up for him, you're willing to give up? I guess so. How the hell did this happen? We were supposed to be strolling up Zach's Fifth Avenue, not hoping that Rodgers would be strolling down the Canyon of Heroes. I don't know why this always keeps happening to the Jets. I don't know why. I know Sala said he keeps receipts of people who doesn't believe in them, and I know he had fun rescinding that comment here on this, even on this program here. And how Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner and Breece Hall and Elijah Vera Tucker are changing the culture in that locker room. But I cannot believe the Jets are back here again, throwing a Hail Mary in the direction of Green Bay. And in many, remarkably, and we've heard this before, a Hail Mary involving Aaron Rodgers appears to be connecting.
He completes those sometimes.
He does.
And had you listened to me a month ago, you would have been settled in on this decision, and you'd be feeling better about it right now. But you didn't want to listen. You'd be feeling great today.
If I listened to you?
A month ago, yeah.
Okay.
I told you it was going to happen.
I just don't trust anything from you since you were trolling me about Mike White two calendar years ago.
Was that a troll or was that
it was not
speaking facts?
Anything
he was
other
the best
than a
quarterback
job
on the team at that point.
Look,
right?
Look. All I know is I appreciate it from you. At least we did hear about the two conference championship seasons the Jets have had in the last 25 years.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't believe it from the man to my right.
He's taking a shot at you.
I DJ. Just did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I know. But yeah. The fact of the matter is I did say this was going to happen, and he didn't want to listen.
But that rumor seems to be a fact, doesn't it?
It's hot.
Well, they gave him permission to talk to the Jets.
It's happening.
If they wanted him back like the two previous years, they'd say, no, you're back. You're under contract. We're paying you all that money. So I hear that, and I think to myself, it's now on the general managers, and Rodgers is going to be a Jet. Wow. Does that make 2023 lit or what? It's coming. I believe it is coming. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Daniel Jeremiah will be joining us coming up next. We'll talk to him about the combine and all the other aspects of the new league year that's coming up 1 week from tomorrow. And then later on today, franchise tags hit. Joe Banner, longtime executive in this league. I told him, hey, Joe, you're going to be in L.A. Let me know. He's showing up here. Perfect guy to talk to. What are these two general managers, Gutekunst and Joe Douglas, talking about? What are the Ravens thinking of doing right now about Lamar Jackson? The Giants are supposedly deep in last-minute negotiations or 12th-hour negotiations with Daniel Jones prior to needing to make a franchise tag designation on him. And if they make one on him, that means Saquon doesn't get one because you can only give out one of them. Joe Douglas in studio, Peter King, Hour 3. There's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. 844-204-RICH. Let's have a chat. Do not go anywhere. Daniel Jeremiah, when we come back, right here on the Roku channel, this radio station, and more. Rich Eisen here. At U.S. Cellular, they know phones are great, but they're not always so great for us. Sure, they connect us to so much, but they also distract us from, well, us. The us that actually laughs out loud with each other instead of just texting it. That knows being in the same room doesn't always mean being together. So let's find us again by putting our phones down for 5 days, 5 hours, even 5 minutes. Join U.S. Cellular in the Phones Down for 5 Challenge. Find out more at uscellular.com/findus.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all gel fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. We were just breaking everything down that has nothing to do with the Combine, that we were breaking down at the Combine here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And Daniel Jeremiah, my colleague from the NFL Network and NFL Media Group and the Move the Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks, is here on the program. All right, DJ, now that we are 2 days removed from the Combine, what's your impression? What did you come away with from Indy?
I think it's the quarterbacks. I think some years, and we all know what those years are like when you're trying to drum up interest in quarterbacks, and I think that maybe there's only one first rounder, but how high does he go? And then you get a year like this one where you've got four guys, and really I would add a fifth with Hinton Hooker, who I think is a good player and I think is going to be intriguing to see where he lands. But really that big four, from schools that people are familiar with and people have watched them, and then you go to the Combine and three of them throw, and I would say, the athletic display by Anthony Richardson, as well as the fact that he threw the ball, extremely well. And then I thought Stroud, even though he didn't run, had one of the best pure throwing sessions that we've seen. And we've got teams with needs at the position. So it's like this is the next phase of it. We saw them all deliver, and now we're going to see these teams see who wants to get antsy and jumpy and go make it happen.
Well, I had Anthony Richardson on yesterday, and I started walking down the teams asking if he met with them. And when I got to Indianapolis, obviously met with the Chicago, and he said he met with Houston. When I said to Indianapolis, he paused and he said, informally. Can you interpret that for me? What does an informal meeting at the Combine mean, Daniel?
So you're restricted by number to the guys you can bring into your formal, 15-minute interviews. I think they might even expanded that to maybe a 17 or 18-minute interview. But those are on the list, and those guys, when you see the players walking around the Combine, on the back of their credential has the list of the teams that they have to formally meet with,
right?
Meaning this is the time and place they are going to meet with them. Outside of that, they will take the whole pool of players, and they'll have their own time in, you kind of like an open area of the Combine, and then teams can informally come up to them and talk to them. But it's, you don't know. It's come as get as you can there for all those teams. So it was a very informal conversation. But I would imagine the bulk of the Colts homework is going to be on bringing those guys in for visits into the facility, as well as visiting with them for private workouts and pro days.
So I guess they figure we'll meet with them eventually. We don't have to use up one of our spaces at the Combine, because that's kind of interesting.
I think that's probably the way it is. I always think that anytime you get a chance to visit with these guys, you want to take it,
Yeah.
Can't talk to them enough, get comfortable with them. But yeah, they chose to allocate those resources elsewhere. Maybe also, maybe just spitballing here, but maybe when your owner comes out publicly and says how much he likes a particular quarterback, you might felt that's damaged a little bit of your leverage. And so maybe just kind of playing it cool, playing a little hard to get here.
To reset? A little reset, yeah. By letting everyone know, we didn't meet with any of them at the Combine. We didn't do that.
Yeah, maybe if one falls, maybe we would take one, but we're not desperate. That's not us.
Oh, my word. Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who helped themselves the most, do you think, with the workouts?
Well, yeah, there was some good ones, man. I mean, Kalijah Kansi, to me, I don't know that I've seen one like that in terms of you get a defensive tackle who is really, really explosive at Pitt. And the obvious comparisons are going to be there with Aaron Donald being undersized and being the best player in the entire league. So that's lofty expectations to try and hold up to, but he's listed at 6'2", 280. I can't tell you the number of times, Rich, I've gone to the combine and guys are listed on the website at 6'2", 280, or when I was scouting a thing actually called a program media guide, for those that are young, aren't familiar with those fine pieces of paper. But I don't recall many times where a guy comes in and he's a full inch taller than he was listed. So I was worried he was going to be 5'11", 270 pounds and be like, gosh, what do we do with this guy? He comes in, he's 6'1", even 281 pounds. He runs a 4.67. So he helped himself tremendously.
And that's just one defensive player. You got an offensive player that may have helped himself tremendously?
Yeah, there's a ton. To me, we've talked about the quarterbacks and, obviously that group. I think when you look at the tight end position I referenced during the broadcast, I think it's the best we've had in a decade. And when you go out there and you see Darnell Washington at 264 pounds run 4.64, and then add in the highlight of all highlights with the one-handed catch on the field, just showing you what an athletic freak he is. And I would say also, nobody has moved Fred the Sled quite as efficiently as Darnell Washington.
For real. He did a better job of moving that sled than the offensive lineman did, than the actual offensive lineman.
He was impressive. And I would say Sam Laporta, too. You know, Iowa's been a tight end factory. He came out there. He ran under 4.6 and had an excellent field workout. So I thought a couple of those tight ends were impressive. And the running backs, those are the two deep groups on offense. And I thought both of them really worked out well. Bijan Robinson was awesome. Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama ran under 4.4. Zach Charbonnet from UCLA looked good. Tajay Spears, who we highlighted. And then, Rich, you got a chance to give out the first ever Mr. Hustle Award to Evan Hull from Northwestern in the combine.
Did you guys see that part of the running back workout? Evan Hull, every rep, took it to the house.
Oh, I did notice that.
He ran into the end zone.
I didn't notice he was doing that.
Every rep running it into the end zone. And we had, the next gen discs, the Zebra
player
technology.
Tracking data.
Yeah, the player tracking data, the Zebra technology discs that are on them. So they track all their steps. Evan Hull of Northwestern had the most steps of any of the running back group by far, because he took each one to the house, which was wild. I'd never seen that before in the history of the combine.
I remember going to basketball camps, Rich. Do you remember, like, you go to sport camps when you're a kid and they give you the most outstanding camper, but then they had the Mr. Hustle Award. I think we could call that the Evan Hull Award going forward from every combine on the end of history.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's hit the discussion that we had on Saturday, and the quarterbacks were out there and Bryce Young wasn't working out, but he did get weighed and measured that day, 5'10 1/8. And I asked you on the air, your thoughts on the height, and tell me how many times watching this kid's tape film, however, that you thought to yourself, he looks small. So I'll give you the floor on that.
Yeah, no, I didn't think there really were. When you think about the height aspect of it, I thought you could literally count on one hand the number of times where I'm seeing and I'm like, okay, I don't know if he maybe could see this, this route pop. But I'm talking two or three times, and I've watched every throw that he's made at Alabama. So it rarely came up. It was not an issue at all. He's got unbelievable feel to be able to slide around and move around and find windows. I remember Andy Reid, when I was with the Eagles, we had an undersized quarterback came in our interview room, and he was talking about his height, and Andy Reid said, look, we don't throw over buildings. We throw between buildings. And I thought Bryce Young is somebody who's very comfortable doing that. So I didn't see the height thing as an issue at all. And, he's slight framed, and that's going to be more of a concern is, forget the weight, forget the height. It's just he's narrow and he's not real thick. So is he going to be able to physically hold up? But he does a very good job of avoiding taking big hits. He knows how to fall. He knows how to get away from guys. He knows how to slide. He knows how to get out of bounds. So I thought he's done a nice job of utilizing those areas to try and protect himself. But the risk still exists, Rich. That is a real thing. You've got to account for that. That's the gamble you take with Bryce, is can he physically just stay healthy? But in terms of how he plays the game, there's no questions.
Well, then and tell the story that you heard about his FBI, if you will, football intelligence.
Oh.
give me yeah, that one that you told, Daniel.
Off the charts. I talked to a you know, a play caller in the league who's a guy that I respect tremendously, mm-hmm. and said he's the smartest quarterback he's ever visited with. And said when you have guys like that, he could, no matter what play we pulled up, you know, he would tell you exactly what the situation was and what he was seeing with his guys. But that's, you know, that's something you come to see from top level guys who are sharp. He said this guy could tell you everything that was going on the other side in terms of the front, in terms of the coverage. He knows where his guys are. He knows where your guys are supposed to be. And he knew it on every single play that they showed.
And then what about when you said in at Alabama, right? You get the game plan, something along those lines?
Oh, gosh, yes. What's that one? So talking to the folks at Bama, they said they give you your game plan packet on a Sunday. They've got, you know, a million analysts there. They have so much going on there, and they have so many people employed. So they give you your game plan on Sunday. So say you play a game on Saturday night. You come in Sunday, you get some treatment. They'll give you your game plan for the team you're getting ready to play the next week. And usually on Monday, you'll start working on that and going through that. And by the time you get to Thursday, you feel pretty comfortable about what you like and what you don't like and how you're going to approach this upcoming game. They said he would come in Monday having swallowed that entire game plan. He would have circled things he liked against this team. He would have added notes of things he thought they should do from a protection standpoint and a route combination standpoint. And the coaches would sit there and say, you know what, he's probably right. We should take this out. Let's put this in. Like, and they said that's – and they've had quarterbacks there, obviously. We know who they all are.
Yeah.
And nothing like this.
That's got to count for something. I mean, that, and that's a way you can also keep yourself healthy. Again, the SEC is not filled with second-tier players. I mean, that's as close you can get to professional football in many people's eyes. And the fact that he's emerged virtually unscathed is a plus. And then there's Stroud, who looked amazing. I'm telling you, man. I mean, he would just flip it, and the spiral would just drop in a bucket no matter what route he was throwing. What's the talk about him maybe in first overall coming out of the combine?
Yeah, I think it's in play. I think he's very much in play to be the top quarterback picked. I think he's the best pure passer. Just, you know, when you watch him, you make the observation when you're watching him, like, this guy just looks like he's been throwing a football his whole life. It comes out so smooth. When he throws that deep ball, he's got kind of a nice little natural whip to it, and the ball has got unbelievable spin. And everything was on target. It's hard to be on target consistently when you're thrown to a bunch of guys you've never thrown to before. But everything he threw was on the proper shoulder. He had the proper trajectory. You know, some of the guys throw a deep ball, it's a little bit flat. As impressive as Richardson was, there were some deep balls or balls a little bit flat. You know, with C.J. Stroud, every ball just had the perfect trajectory and dropped it in the bucket, as you said, Rich, and looked like he had such a calm and cool about him. The word that I came away with saying, if you had to describe what we saw with him, I don't know that I use this word often with quarterbacks, but it was graceful.
Yeah, it sure was. There's no question about it. I mean, his every move was very smooth, and so were his throws. We spoke to Richardson yesterday, and he met with a ton of teams, man. I mean, the teams that you'd expect, including Tennessee, Tampa, Washington. Interestingly, New England, we all know that Belichick likes to just kick tires, right? Just so he knows when he faces them, unless who knows.
He forgot to defend them, yeah.
Right? I mean, the Jets are one of them. But what about the idea of Richardson testing so well? His pro day, no doubt, will be like a Christmas tree lighting up. Could he be number one overall too, Daniel?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a chance that, you know, I would say Levis, and not, I don't see him having a chance to emerge as the top quarterback, but I think it is a three-person race, and I would not be stunned or surprised at any of the three. You know, I think when people are watching that and you're seeing how Anthony Richardson is moving around, he has a strong arm. I thought he was smoother with his footwork than maybe even I anticipated. I've seen strides he's continuing to make there. But when you think about it, we saw this guy run a 4.4. To put it in context, Rich, he's the same size as – he's almost identical to the same size as Big Ben. Like, think about that. Think about Big Ben and how big he looks on a football field, and then think about Big Ben running in the mid-4.4s. It's just stupid.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. It is stupid. But, I mean, and can he start now? I mean, I asked him, and I knew what his answer would be, but he was very full of conviction. Day one, week one, he's ready to go. your evaluation would be what? I mean, would that be a problem? Is there? So let me just ask, does he need to get lucky and wind up with a team that's willing to redshirt him? Didn't you mention that on the air one point about him?
I like the idea of redshirting him just to get him even more comfortable and to work through, you know, some things throwing-wise, which I've already seen improvement from what we saw in the fall to what we saw at the combine.
Right.
I'd like to buy a little time. It's hard nowadays to buy a whole year, but even if you could buy him 6 weeks, you know, just to get comfortable and then put him out there. But I mean, make no mistake about it. When he gets on the field initially, he's going to major with his legs and minor with his arm. Like you're going to really use his legs. And that's something that, you know, we've seen Fields, even though they didn't win a lot of games, he made them competitive really, you know, with his legs. So I think Richardson goes out there and he can do all that plus with his legs. And then, you know, hey, let's just keep on that track that he's on right now of improving. You know, the one thing, you know, you want to be a little bit realistic here, Rich, because I know that the Cam Newton comparison is thrown out there, and Cam Newton didn't play a ton of ball in college and all that. That Auburn team that Cam Newton was on did not have a much talent on offense, and they went undefeated, won a national championship, and he won the Heisman Trophy. So I feel like maybe let's not be so quick to put him in Cam's class in terms of what he's, you know, accomplished and who he is right now.
All right, and then last couple for you, Daniel Jeremiah. Crystal ball, the Bears' first overall pick journey for me from now all the way to the draft. What do you think? What are they going to do?
Well, I definitely think they get out. I don't think there's any chance they stick and pick. I think they get out. I think, in my opinion, the most likely options are going to be 4 and 9, which would be the Colts and the Panthers. I think the Texans, if you get in their shoes, right, if you're the Texans, I think there's 4 quarterbacks that are interesting. I think you can talk yourself into 2 of them. And you can sit there and say, you know, I don't really want to part with a bunch of picks to go up one spot. We really are comfortable with 2 guys. And there's also the little bit of the egg on your face of having to give up picks because you won that game at the end of the year. Just kind of pushes that storyline aside a little bit if you just stay there and say, oh, we were happy with either one of these guys.
Right.
But I think when you're the Colts, there's a very real chance you could get your 4th guy. You know, there could be quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3. I don't think they can afford to take that chance. And then the Carolina Panthers, Tepper just seems like he's ready. You know, he's ready to be bold and be aggressive, and seems like that's in his DNA. And they would like to go up there and get something done. So those are the 2 teams, I think, that are most likely to do it. There's the multiple trade down scenario, I think, is the perfect world if you're the Bears. That's going to be tricky to pull all that off.
Well, I mean, sitting there at 9, you can get yourself a heck of a player anyway. And what was that? What was it? Do you remember? You said it on the air. What you get if you're the Bears, because there's a chart that from Carolina.
I had it all printed out. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it was, I want to say you had to give up your 4th round pick and the 1st overall pick.
Right.
And coming back your way, you get their 1st round pick this year, their 2nd round pick this year, as well as 2 future ones. So it was in total, if you count that one, 3 ones and a 2.
Sold.
Good.
Sold. If you're Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I do that all day. Which Rich, again, this is, again, one of the storylines as we go forward. Don't sit there and say, well, we don't want to trade out of range of one of the top defensive players. No. You are not one top defensive player away. Get as many picks as you can. Whoever you get at 9 is going to be a really good player who's going to help you, in addition to all this other capital you're going to get and stuff in future years, which we don't know what that could look like. That could be a gold mine.
And then if you're sitting there at Philadelphia 10, if you're the Bears moving down to 9, right? If you're Tennessee thinking of shopping Derrick Henry, is that where Bijan Robinson winds up in this draft? What do you think? Does he get pushed up top 10? What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's, I mean, he's, we saw it in the workout. I think he's one of the premier players in the draft. It's just a matter of who's going to do it, who's comfortable, you know, taking one up there. I know the Bears have a good, you know, group of backs, but
right.
That, you know, he's a different type of player now. Wouldn't be fun to watch him and Justin Fields kind of grow up together. But I think the team that he fits the best would be the Eagles. Hasn't really been in their DNA to do it, but that would be that's the most ideal logical fit. But I don't think he gets by. If you talk about how far could Bijan Robinson slide,
yes.
I think 14 is the absolute floor. I don't think Bill Belichick would pass on him.
You love that, Chris. Look at you sitting straight up in your chair. That's no minivan there. That's
him and Ramondre together. Let's go.
That's wow. What I'm saying.
Right.
I mean, that would be fun. And you'd have some what he could do in the passing game as well. You could have stuff where you get him and Ramondre Stevenson on the field at the same time. You give Mac Jones some easy yards.
He's not going that way. 14. I mean, who are we
playing? I don't know. You never know. I mean, you're talking about all the quarterbacks. You're talking about.
I know, but if Carolina goes to 1 rushers, and Chicago's at 9, why wouldn't the Bears take him at 9?
I don't know. Because again, there's so many great
Their
players that we
line
saw.
Stinks. That's probably why.
You got offensive linemen that's got to go. You got some pass rushers got to go on the quarterbacks. It's, you know, you never know. It's feasible. And then before I let you go, Daniel, the news that Aaron Rodgers is in New York talking to the Jets. Your thoughts on that right now?
It seemed like they were. You know, they were kind of pot committed to making a move on a veteran, and it seems like, you know, with Carr to the wayside, that's the only one that's really left. We can talk about Garoppolo or maybe Tannehill, but it seems like they're going to exhaust every potential here of trying to get the Aaron Rodgers thing done. So I just got to believe it's got to happen soon, because you can't get left holding the bag if you're the Jets. You can't sit here and wait for Aaron Rodgers and watch you know, Garoppolo land and whatever happens with Tannehill, and all of a sudden you've got nothing. Like, you've got to know here pretty soon.
Right. I mean, the new league year starts in 8 days, the negotiation window in 6, and then there's franchise tags later on today. I mean, things will begin to settle, but what does that mean for Zach, right? I mean, they're...
If I'm Zach, I'm praying that it's Aaron Rodgers. That's his dream
why?
Guy. Because you get Aaron Rodgers, and there's no shame in sitting behind a, you know, multi-MVP first ballot Hall of Famer. And you don't know, Aaron Rodgers could play 1 year and be done, and you could be right back. You could be right back in the mix. If they signed Derek Carr, Zach Wilson's days were over there. Now I think Aaron Rodgers, not only, you know, maybe you can learn from him, and I think Aaron and him have a decent relationship.
Right.
But I think Zach Wilson's future is, there's still a flicker of hope with Aaron Rodgers there. I think what they bring in at Jimmy Garoppolo, one of these other guys, I think he's played his last ball there.
DJ, you're the man. You are so great to work with. You are. You're just awesome to work with. You're awesome to be around. Your information is only surpassed by your decency and personality, and it's awesome, brother. You're the best. Really. Truly.
Well, I get a chance to work with the best in the business, Rich. Nobody does it like you. And like we said, we were walking, and Brockman will believe this because he knows us both so well. We kind of just had a chuckle as we finished up and said, can you imagine if you didn't like the person you were doing this with? I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah, I guess Chris can imagine working with somebody who's in like every day, right, Chris?
Don't talk about Mike like that.
Oh, okay. Very good. Take care of yourself, Daniel. I'm gonna iron out the personality issues in my locker room. There you go. There's Daniel Jeremiah. I meant every word that I said. He's so good. His information's incredible, and it's just so a delight to be around. Lots to chew on right there. Let's take a break, come back, and we'll chop that up.
Love it.
And Chris, as Joe Banner's about to walk in here, I think you got your wish on the quarterback front in free agency. Coming up.
Youth football is all about style and fun. And the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents, with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in?
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial, SiriusXM and Odyssey feeds on our Roku channel feed. Chris, you have got a major problem with the way the free agency world works with starting quarterbacks.
I do.
Giants.
By the way, Robert Griffin III is with me.
Giants and the representatives for Daniel Jones apparently locked in their own darkness cave, trying to find the light to figure out a way to give a long-term contract to Daniel Jones so they can franchise tag Saquon Barkley and continue on their journey. But apparently Daniel Jones wants a contract that starts with the number 4 annually. And you would tell him to go pound sand using a much more strenuous way of expressing it, correct?
Yeah, well, he has 21 career wins.
Got it. So, and we're lamenting that there's no such thing as a middle ground contract for quarterbacks anymore. That you got a rookie deal or you got a gajillion dollar deal. That's about it for starting quarterbacks. Well, then meet John Schneider, general manager of the Seattle Seahawks. And Geno Smith, According to Mike Garafolo, the contract that Geno Smith signed, 3 years, $105 million, is, when you go down to the base salary world, $25 million a year. 3 years, 75.
Bam.
Not 3 years, 105. Well, I mean, it can be. $40 million guaranteed at signing. He'll earn $28 million in the first year of the deal, $30 million in incentives. And then it's possible, you know, I don't know how the rest of the deal is gone, but after 1 year, if Geno's not the guy.
Easy out.
Certainly, if Geno's not the guy after 1 year because you draft one, Garofalo threaded that tweet with another one saying that the Seahawks are, as Pete Carroll said, quote unquote, totally connected to the QBs in this year's draft, especially since they're in the rare spot of drafting number five overall. Smith's contract rewards him for his comeback season, but doesn't close the door on Seattle taking a quarterback high at all. And if you recall, out of all the teams that I ticked off for Anthony Richardson yesterday, did you meet with them? Only one did he say that he was awestruck and starstruck by the coach that interviewed him. That would be Pete Carroll in the Seahawks.
He was like, whoa, that's the guy from TV.
Said Anthony Richardson.
And good for Geno Smith, though. He made $17 million in his 10-year career. He has been a backup for a long time.
Bingo.
He comes, he balls out, boom. Now he's got a nice, acceptable, you know, deal that's, you know, valid, you know, represents his value to the team.
I think it's terrific for him. Certainly since he said that he was written off, but he hasn't written back. If he does choose to write back, outstanding stationery. He can use some great new stationery.
For $28 million next year, you can
bingo.
Get some good stuff.
And then who knows? He continues on well. He can finish out the contract.
Make $100 million.
But the Seahawks are there. So, but in this world where you're like, you're lamenting, it's either make more money than Mahomes, even though you don't deserve it, or you have a rookie contract. These are the extremes.
Yes.
You know, created by an NFL world where Kirk Cousins gets paid like Garrett Cole. And a collective bargaining agreement where you can have kids make a ton of money with a fifth-year option and then start franchise tagging them after that. There's now middle ground.
I like it. Congratulations and well done, Seattle.
Who will join Geno Smith and Seattle in having that middle ground? Can it be the Giants next? Can they figure that out with Daniel Jones? You're hearing that there's significant problems. It's narrowed.
He wants $2 million for every career win. Think about that.
We should send you into the negotiating room.
I would laugh these guys out of the room.
Well, that's why you're here on this show and not a general manager of a National Football League team.
My phone is available. I will answer it.
You'll be a GM, and I'll be on the competition committee.
With his quickness to cut, Joe Banner, last long.
And Joe Banner is about to join us in studio.
I wouldn't have many players left.
Yeah, you wouldn't last long the way you just cut them.
The only way that Deion and I are
that's how alike. Deion. I'm telling you, that's how Deion was.
Yeah, but Chris isn't Deion, so
go into the locker room. Just leave. Take your stuff.
Hit the showers.
Take your stuff.
There's a difference there.
Maybe the Jets can find that deal with Jimmy Garoppolo if Rodgers can't be. If that can't
look, Rich, be embrace figured it, out. Bro.
I will embrace Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback of the
can
New
I just
York
throw
Jets.
Something at you real quick? Last three seasons, just look this up, Jets have six quarterbacks that have played the last three seasons. They've
I get it.
51 total touchdowns, 48 picks. I'm just throwing out. Just over the last three seasons, 111 touchdowns and 21 picks.
TJ,
I'm just throwing out there for the people at home, Rich.
Absolutely happy with Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback of the New York Jets. I just need to know how he will handle it. When he is asked in his opening press conference about accepting money of the Johnson & Johnson era, if this is the way he feels about a vaccine, and how that will go after a game when he's now 1-2 or 2-4. How will that go? Will that be good? Will he be able to just keep on keeping on? I'm shooting you absolutely straight. But if he winds up being the quarterback of the New York Jets, that is what we would call an upgrade. He will be the best quarterback the Jets have had since Namath.
Ever had,
right?
Ever.
And you could make these cases. So I'm ready for it 100% because I think it's going to happen.
No one in the wrestling business has experienced the trials and tribulations, along with redemptions and longevity, quite like Jeff Jarrett. Come along for the ride on the My World with Jeff Jarrett podcast.
They didn't really brand belts in the heyday of boxing. You know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, they had them, but along comes sports entertainment, professional wrestling, and now it is truly a part of pop culture. They've just branded what it looks like to be a champion.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.